It says in John chapter 1 that Andrew brought his brother. John chapter 1. Andrew brought his brother to Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Have you brought anyone to Jesus since you've been saved? The Bible says everything after its kind. We to produce everything after its kind. So we to produce fruit. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Someone comes to the Lord. So this morning, I want you to realize that the only way we can lead others to the Lord is to get acquainted with the book. I know the Holy Spirit could do the job. I know that. The Holy Spirit does the job. But this morning, I want to talk about Andrew, who brought his brother to Jesus. When he got saved, he was concerned about his brother. Do you have a brother this morning? Or a sister or a family member that's not saved? Are you really concerned about him? We should be. Having tasted and seen how good the Lord is to us, we should have a desire to share it with others. So he brought his brother to Jesus. And the Bible says he not only brought his brother to Jesus, but he brought a boy to Jesus. You remember the story in John chapter 6, how that the Bible says that the feeding of the 5,000 and the little boy, when the Lord wanted to feed the crowd, and the little boy ate his lunch, and Andrew says, there's a little lad here that's had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? The Lord said, make the man sit down. The little boy brought a bunch to Jesus. After bringing his brother, he brought a boy first. He brought a boy first. Third, he brings a bunch. In John chapter 12, you remember, and the Greeks came seeking for Jesus. And the Bible says that they went to Andrew, Philip first, because Philip's name is a Greek name, and they went to Philip first, and Philip tells Andrew, and they both go to Jesus and tell Jesus. So they tell him about Jesus, and a bunch he brought to Jesus. Now today, as we look at our own lives, for the Bible says we need to judge ourselves, how much fruit? The fruit of another Christian, I said, those that have been sold, the Bible says, Proverbs 11:30, is wise. The fruit of the Spirit is another thing. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. That's the fruit of the Spirit. What kind of fruit are you bringing forth today? Can people look at your life and see that it's a difference in your life from what you were when you got saved? The Bible says, as newborn babes in Christ, we desire the sins of God. Listen to me now. We have a desire in our hearts for the things of God. Amen. Pastor, I agree with you this morning. There are people who you see going everywhere else except from wanting to come. They want to go to these places, you see. They have a desire to go to these places. But if you have a desire for the things of the world more than you have for the things of God, check your life. Check your life. I want to tell you, people are watching our lives. And people are watching your life and watching my life, and they know that they expect a different lifestyle from people in the world. Desire. Do you have a desire for the things of God? Or do you have a desire more for the things of the world? Those we need to draw nigh to God, need to draw near to us. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. The trouble is, we are drawing near to the devil and the devil's crowd, and we're drawing to the God's children. We don't have a desire to come to meet with them. The Bible says, as newborn babes in Christ, we have a desire. The Bible says, forsake not the assembly of yourself together, as the manner of some is, so much the more you see the day of the Lord approaching, in Hebrews. Now this morning, I call a bunch of people again. Four people I call in Luke chapter 5. The Bible says it was a man who was sick. And four friends, people who was concerned. I see that you have a concern for your brothers and sisters this morning. But people, the pastors, shared the burden, compassion of some having compassion. It makes a difference. So I want to summon four other men this morning who brought their friend to Jesus. Do you have a friend today? The Bible says, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I want to tell you, my friends, it's real. Yeah. Our brother spoke about a little baby this morning. You go to the graveside, you see small graves. You see middle size. You see big graves. But they're all dead. Yeah. If they died in the Lord, they waited for the resurrection morning to be called up to be with the Lord. Yeah. So I'm going to tell you, beloved, we need to get more serious about our loved ones. It's real. If they die in their sin, Jesus says, they're not coming where I am. You cannot come to me. So if you got somebody not saved this morning, if you don't have a burden, I trust you'll get a burden, have a burden when you leave here today. Because I'm telling you, Israel, it's appointed unto man. And women too, generic speaking. You see women die, same as man. It's appointed unto man once to die. Once, you got an appointment with death already, you know that? Yes. Already, you had a appointment. You know when it's coming? No. That's why I tell the people down my way, since you don't know it's coming, go to Dr. Jesus and get straightened up, and get the appointment straightened up with him, right, until you get in the family, so you don't have to worry about dying. Right. It's coming. I know it's coming. It's real. I know it's real. Simply, I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, because one day, 1956, I had a meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he changed my life completely. Can you remember a time when you got saved? I tell people, I don't know how you could be saved and not know about it. I tell them, how could you be dead? I was dead for 18 years, and all of a sudden quickened by the Spirit of God, made alive, knew I was born again. I don't understand how that could happen to me and not know about it. Completely changed. You think somebody in the graveside, in the graveyard, dead 15 years, 50 years, you think they got up? You think they got up, they know about it? They'd be able to tell you about it 10 years later? You think they'd be able to tell you? They couldn't tell you about it. They could tell you about it. I could tell you about it. You know why? I wasn't there the first time, but I tell people, my mother wanted to be with me so much that she even went with me to the hospital so she'd give birth to me. I tell you, the Lord's good. I'm talking about these four men now. Four men concerned. God had a burden. Got a burden, and they wanted to bring the friend. And they brought the friend to Jesus privately. They got together. Mr. Love. After all, the Bible says we to love one another, even we to love our enemies. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we say we love people, and sometimes we won't forgive them. We don't want nothing to do with them. You don't mind that, like everything people do to you. But I tell you, you got to love them, because Jesus says, you got to love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. And I'm going to tell you something else. People are watching. Believe it or not, you don't know. People watching where you go. People watch where you go. They watch you're in church, but they saw you like at Walmart. You had more desire to go to Walmart than come to church. You had more desire to go to, I trust nobody here like that. Decided to go to, got him a bell, got him a little, little toddy like, instead of coming to church. God knows, but people also know. And when you get saved, you remain, Titus says, we maintain a testimony from here on out because we pass from death into life. Amen. Things are different now. Something happened to me that day when I gave my heart to Jesus. Mr. Love, he couldn't do without praying for his brother. He's so concerned about him. He had this dropsy. He had the palsy. He just couldn't move about. And Mr. Love prayed. Then I wanted someone into our time together, Mr. Prayer. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says, and everything give thanks. They met together in prayer. He loved. You can't love somebody and not pray for them. You can't really love somebody and not give towards them. You can't love the church without giving towards the church. You can give without loving, but you can't love and not give. You see? Now, we got Mr. Prayer. Mr. Prayer, Mr. Faith, now we got Mr. Works. Mr. Humble, Mr. Faith, and Mr. Mr. Works. A lot of people believe that works saves them, but I don't believe works saves them, but I tell you, I think we need to maintain good works. They're praying together, four men were praying. And they come to a conclusion. We prayed. We have faith to believe God can do it. But let's put our faith into action by works. Let's go down to our brother's house. Carry our brother Jesus down there having meetings in a certain village, the Bible says. Let's carry him down to Jesus. Yeah. And they were so concerned about their friend. Concerned about the friend. They wouldn't go out of the way. They got together, whatever they needed. And they went the way where Jesus was having his meeting down in this house. And when they got there, they were excited about carrying their friend to Jesus. You know why? I believe this man experienced the forgiveness of sin himself. And he said, if we can only get our brother to Jesus, he can do the same thing for him that he's done for us. If we just get him to Jesus. So they're going to get there. Crowd. You want to get through me? Past me? You want to get past him? Past him? Past? No, you ain't getting there. I can't see Jesus myself. I ain't going to let you get ahead of me. So most of us would have been discouraged. We just said, well, not God's rightful time, right time now to bring him to Jesus. We might as well go back home. Let me tell you, if you're really sincere, it's never a bad time to bring somebody to Jesus. People tell me down the Bahamas, they say, Billy, you witness too much. You all the time talking about Jesus to people. I say, that's all I am. The Bible says, if he's lifted up, he'll draw men time to himself. I say, all I can do is just tell him what's in my heart. But people sometimes says, well, not God's opportunity now. So I might as well go back home. I'll go, maybe some other time, we got to cancel the prayer meeting. You pray in your home and I'll pray in my home. And we'll continue to maybe opportune time come. But it's opportune time come. Now we're about opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus. And now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow maybe too late will be the cry. Jesus has already passed by. So, but even the determined man, they said, we got our friend to Jesus. We don't care how we're going to get him there, but we get him to Jesus. Jesus could do for him what he's done for us. See up there? Please, see a little crack there? I think we get up there and knock the hole in the roof. and he knocks a hole in the roof, and all of a sudden, by the knocking the hole in the roof, a piece of maybe cement or something. Hit the man a talent. Hit the man. He said, "So what in the world going on around here?" He was determined to get our friend to Jesus. And the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, he healed the man. And Jesus will heal you today of your sins. He'll forgive them and wash them all away and clean you up, and you'll be whiter than snow. Accepted before God in the Beloved One. And nearer to God you cannot be than in the blessed Son Himself. So they brought their friend to Jesus. These people brought their friends, they brought a bunch. How much are you involved in this local church and bringing others to Jesus? The pastor can't do it all. You can only be in one place at a time. But are you helping to carry the load? Are you praying in the Spirit, trusting God to lead you? I've been in the way. Abraham's servant said, I've been in the way, the Lord led me. And you be in the way, the Lord will lead you. And you have a desire to serve God and to see people get saved, God will lead. And you can't save nobody, but you can tell people about this one who can save them, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I've been doing now for the last 50 years of my life. Telling people about Jesus. Just telling people about Jesus. I tell you, I want to tell you about how all this could come to pass and bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we need to love one another. Psalms 126, and this is where I'm driving to get at. I'm driving to get to this place. In Psalms 126, it says, those that go forth weeping sowing precious seed will come again rejoicing, bringing the sheaves, bringing some fruit in for the glory of God. My children, my two boys, and my wife. My wife was a ringleader in this. But I mean, you could have a big pot in the home and getting other people saved. My wife, Julia, she was a giver. She did everything in the world she could do for people. She's in glory now. She told me he was a man in his 70s and spent his wills. And she told me, says, Billy, I want us to pray for Simeon. His name is Simeon. He lived with his sister. Never got married, neither one of them. She said, Billy, I want us a family to pray, adopt this man, want to see this man saved, 70 years old, not saved. But my wife, she got the four of us together, two boys, and her and myself. She says, I want us to pray for Simeon. And every day, we got together and prayed for Simeon. And I'm going to tell you, it went on for more than a year. My wife invited him and his sister into the home, fed them many, many meals. They used to walk. She was a little older than him. They used to walk from the up end of the island, which is only 2.5 miles long, about halfway. And they come walk down to our house, get dinner, stay down there the afternoon. This went on for years. One day, crying over him dying, going ill. Talking to him all the time. But this particular day, it was Saturday, and I'll forget it, Saturday afternoon. She says, Lily, I feel like we need to go see Simeon. We need to put some works to our love and our compassion. Of some having compassion, like she said, it makes a difference. Jesus, the captain of our salvation, seeing the multitude, his heart was moved towards those who were not saved. He looked at Jerusalem, and he looked at Jerusalem, but it was the last time passing through. He said, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how oft I've tried. I gathered you as a hen that gathered brood under her wing, and you would not, and you would not come. That many people haven't come yet, but they're still breathing the breath of life. They can still come. We'd only put a little more effort into what we believe. And my wife, she says, be going tonight. I'm going to get to the good part. She says, be going tonight. That's Saturday night, but be going tonight. I said, all right, sweetheart. If you say so, it's all right with me. When we dressed, just me and her, the two boys that didn't go. We had 2 hours, right? And I forgot, they didn't have no electricity. And we got them to get electricity, and they didn't have no lights bulb. They didn't screw no lights in the rooms. They had one long drop cord with a bulb on it. And from room to room, their long drop cord from room to room, they carried their drop cord. But that night, they were sitting in darkness. And I've never smoked them alive, but he smoked a pipe. Now, you know anything about a pipe? When you draw on her, she shows a little. So that's why I'll be able to see a little bit better when it. And so he did that, and my wife, we come this next to a neighbor at a party that night. At a party, a lot of people there. You know, the devil will do anything in the world to get you not to do what the Spirit of God wants you to do. You got to remember, the devil is against us. He's against us. He didn't want us to do nothing for the Lord. So then I said to her, I said, Juliana, look at all these people here. I'm taking cold feet. A man. I said, look at all those. They'll say, what in the world are they going in there for? They don't see us going around him. Says, Willie. She looked at me. She says, Willie, let me tell you. I don't care what them people are in there. I'm going to discharge my responsibility. I've got a burden, and I'm going to see the man tonight and let him know I've got a burden. I don't want him to die and go to hell. So I'll never forget Ben Neiman. And my wife, she ran right over to him. When he opened the door, she ran right over to him. And she put her arms up. She bowed down on her knees and put her arm around him and started to love him and said, crying like a baby, says, Simeon, I don't want you to die and go to hell. I love you too much. It's a place that torment forever and forever. And you're getting on in years and don't know how much love you got here. She cried and she cried and cried. Tears. I want to ask you, beloved, when is the last time you young people shed any tears over young people? I shed any tears, and I'm telling you, I've seen pastor in my life get on. People, you call, make all the call, people come to the altar, and when you get through praying and weeping, just like you turn the bucket of water down on the floor of those that go forth weeping, but as you wept. Seriously, don't tell me. God knows. But Lazarus, it's such a burden that you shed tears over somebody. Remember, the Bible says one soul is worth more than all the world. Now, that the sort of stuff, she gets up from there. After a while, we took witness to him, invited the church to be a special evangelist. They're having special meetings in the island. And I invited him out to service. And he didn't promise me he'd come to the service. He didn't tell us he'd come to the service. But when we left, he says, I don't go to any service, you know. They say The people told me they don't know no time in the island they ever seen him in church in his lifetime. And so, I tell you, my wife wrapped. And so, after 9 o'clock, we left and went home. Kept praying, still shedding tears, bedding it down. And I told the brother, and I said, Doshus, I say, I believe he's coming tonight. That was Sunday night, Saturday night. And I visited him. I believe he's coming tonight. More people come to church Sunday nights home there than what comes Sunday morning. I say, they wouldn't want to come in the front. You know, people come to church, they want to be in the background. So I say, look out, farmer, got a seat, farmer, close to the back. We got to watch quarter to seven, we start 7 o'clock. I can see him, I see him and her coming down the road. When they got about a neat turn. Come right into people's church. Right into church. Now this is the part that really struck me and got me really burdened and got me concerned. After the service that night, you know, people see somebody, you all know somebody that hasn't been to church for, you don't know nothing about in your lifetime. See them come to church. You want to speak to them, let them know you're glad to see them, welcome back and everything like that, right? So that's what people done. They run, and Martha, they come, they run up after Julian, and they run. Said, Simeon, like I'm doing, Simeon, I want you to know I love you. And Juliana, she came back to him and told him she loved him after so many times, back and forth. So this man came to him and shook Juliana's hand, shook his hand. And this lady went and shook Simeon's hand and says, we're glad to see you out tonight, Simeon. He says, let me tell you something. Did you see that girl standing right over there? That's my wife. Did you see that young girl standing right over there? She says, I want to turn it down tonight for $10,000 cash put in my hand the way she come to me tonight. Of some having compassion. Beloved, it makes a difference. People are looking for proof today that you love them. Don't talk it. Talk is cheap. We can talk it. Now that was the beginning. Now that the next Wednesday night come to church again. Wednesday night. Next Thursday night, back to church again. I'm going to tell you, the other side now. Come back in. So one night, you come on a Wednesday night. And I forget, I told the people, I say, I want you to divert the people through this back door. I'll be talking to this man. I'm about to deliver a baby. Doctor don't want no disturbance when he's delivering babies, you know. You're delivering a baby, you don't want no disturbance. So it was a newborn baby that's about to be born. The Spirit of God was to birth him into the family of God. How he does it, I don't know, but I believe it. It's by faith, I believe it. He says, Brother Willie, who say you say, only one step. Shaking his family. Only one step. I said, that's all one step. So I'm going to take it now, Brother Willie. Oh, my Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me my sins. You tell me, I can't even forget what he did. What he had experienced here, I can't forget it. And he walked with the Lord from then out. Of some having compassion, remember this. Jude 22, it makes a difference. David said, I looked to my right and looked to my left, and refuge found me, for refuge failed me, for no man cared for my soul. People are dying and going to hell just because we do not care. Now let's put it down where it is. Now this morning, I'm wind up. I don't know about you, but I have a desire to see others come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Beloved, we believe every one of us here this morning, believes that the trumpet of the Lord could sound at any time. Any time it could sound. Be drawing close to that moment when the Father will say, "Son, go get your children. Bring them on home. They're suffering. Bring them on home." And beloved, be going home. It could happen before next Sunday. It could happen before tomorrow morning. One of us in here could pass into death. And that's the way we got to go home. If you're going home before the rapture, you got to get that, keep that appointment. Appointed unto man. So I suggest this morning, and closing out, if you're here this morning, and if you're not saved, if you can't look back to a time when you remember. People tell me, "Brother Willie, I got saved when I was a teenager." I said, "Guts, and you've been living like a devil all these years and got saved as a teenager?" I said, "That's impossible, my boy. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And if you can live like a devil all these years," I said, "you've been around, living around women, living, drinking in the bar room, been doing everything you want to call off, that's evil." And you say you're saved? No. You're a new creature. "Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to him. Things I loved before have passed away. Things I love far more have come to say. Things are different now. Something happened that day when I gave my heart to him." You never heard that before. Things are different, though. Amen. Lord bless you. And I tell you, I'll be praying for you, and you pray for me. And practically pray for Joel and Audrey and little King coming up there. They young couple. Just like young couples here, and you and older folks, we've been there. Like I tell him, I've been there. Trust the Lord. But the Lord moves through people. You know, he moves through people. He meets your needs through people. Don't ask me, but he does. I tell him, I've never seen rain down no $5 bills, $100 bills yet in my yard. I've never seen it yet. I like to see it every morning. Like when I come up, like the man, I'd like to go out and pick up three or 400 and be able to use them. But it don't happen that way. God speaks to people. And I'm going to tell you, they need help. I'm not sense enough to know them. I'm kind of a pastor. Getting to that point that I might go at any time. I'm got sense. I'm 84, like I said, I'm 84. So, I mean, I've still got a desire to go and run up the mountains of Haiti, but my knee can't run no more. Like, my knee's kind of stiff now. So, I'll tell you, I tell pastors, I tell churches now, I go, they are young and they're getting on in years. I'm getting on in years, and God raised them up to take over the work of me to carry on. It's such a great burden. It's such a great burden to me and to see them have the needs back. They say, "God can meet your needs." Yeah, sometimes if you only got your needs met, give you little rice and grits, or give you little corned beef and grits, I'm going to tell you right now, you'd grumble more than you grumble now. You need little extra, sometime a steak or so. And needs come up, you got a child that come along, you didn't have any child before. The needs are greater. You've been in the young people knows that. So what I'm asking the church is, if they be kind enough to just think about it, pray about it, if God should lead them, individual, send them some monthly or something. I'm telling everybody. Because he's in need, and he's my grandson, and I'm not prejudiced, he's doing a tremendous job. Martha been down there, she's seen what I've been doing. And you want to go, like Joel said, if you want to see for yourself, come and join us. You might have to climb up a little and on again, raise your legs a little bit higher, you got to pull the rock. No smooth, nothing smooth down there. But God burdened me, and I'm thankful that I obeyed. To obey is better than to offer sacrifice. So God bless this church. Boy, I just ask you to pray for us. The Lord give me strength that I might be able to carry on. See, I've got two churches in the Bahamas. I built for the Asian people. Like we built 45 homes down in Haiti for people. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your gifts in the past. But we still need your prayers. If you're gonna neglect one thing, neglect the money. Because we need the Lord more than we need money. But pray for us, and God bless you. And thank you again. On behalf of Joe, whatever you're doing for him, if you're doing, I don't know. See, I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to fade out as much as I can, because I know. So when I'm gone, it'll have the responsibility, and they'll know what they're doing. So God bless you. And Pastor, thank you again for letting us be here today and inviting us here today. And just remember that you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Paul said, therefore, glorify God in these bodies. God bless you. Pray for us, and we'll pray. By the way, I've got a prayer card here. I don't stress them too much but anyhow, if you put it in the right place, it might say the rosary. That's my prayer card, tells you the new address and everything about it. That's mine, and they got one too. So they're right on the foyer there. You want one, get one, because I'll carry the rest down with me and give them away to somebody else if they'll take them. All right. Lord bless you, Pastor. Thank you again for allowing me to be here.